It's time once again for It's a Good Life, coming to you from Central Baptist Church, located at 1714 Southeast 36th Avenue, Ocala, Florida. Please join us as Dr. Lewis Woodard teaches and preaches from the King James Bible. Our prayer for you is that this program will help lift you to higher ground with our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Now, Dr. Woodard.
Revelation chapter 8. And verse 1. And when he had opened the seventh seal, there was silence in heaven about the space of half an hour. Well, this chapter opens with the announcement that the seventh seal is opened. Now, if you've been following along our study of dispensations, you know that we're in dispensation number 7, the tribulation. And we've already read in chapter 5 and chapter 6 about the seals that Christ has opened. And now we're in Revelation chapter 8, and we've read in verse 1 that the seventh seal was opened. And as we keep reading, we find out that the list of the seven seals marks the prophetic judgments of God. And with the opening of the seventh seal, the narrative is resumed from the close of chapter 6. In other words, we go from chapter 6 to chapter 8. To simply introduce, the seventh seal is obviously the most important development up to this point. And contained in the seventh seal are all the subsequent developments leading to the second coming of Christ, including the seven trumpets and the seven vials of the wrath of God. Now we continue reading and we find out that there are certain things that are going to take place, but notice in that verse, in verse 1 of chapter 8, 30 minutes of silence. This indicates that something exceedingly harmful is about to happen. 30 minutes is not ordinarily considered a long time, but when it is a time of absolute silence, it would indicate that such devastation is about to happen that it would seem what lies ahead would be enough, as the saying is, to take your breath away. What lies ahead will be so terrible that even the four beasts of Revelation chapter 4 and verse 8, who rest not day and night, saying, "Holy, holy, holy, Lord God Almighty," they too will be silent. Notice in Revelation chapter 4 and verse 8, it says, "And the four beasts had each of them six wings about him, and they were full of eyes within, and they rest not day and night, saying, Holy, 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 Lord God Almighty," which was and is to come. Well, notice chapter 8, verses 2 through 6 now. We read of angels. It says, "And I saw the seven angels which stood before God, and to them were given seven trumpets. And another angel came and stood at the altar, having a golden censer, and there was given unto him much incense, that he should offer it with the prayers of all saints upon the golden altar which was before the throne. And the smoke of the incense, which came with the prayers of the saints, ascended up before God out of the angel's hand. And the angel took the censer, and filled it with fire of the altar, and cast it into the earth. And there were voices, and thunderings, and lightnings, and an earthquake. And the seven angels which had the seven trumpets prepared themselves to sound." Well, seven angels, as we've read, are given seven trumpets. Now, the authority of these angels comes from God. As they stand in the presence of God, they are given seven trumpets. Seven angels, notice, plus one. In verse 3, it says one angel, talks about one angel, not of the seven, had an enormous amount of incense to burn in a golden container. Well, this angel would offer incense mixed with prayers from all saints. The incense and prayers would be offered on the golden altar before the throne of God. The incense and prayers of all saints would be a sweet aroma to God. This angel, in other words, would offer on behalf of all saints as their intercessor their prayers to God. Of course, we know there is only one mediator between God and man, and that is the man Christ Jesus. 1 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 5, and we'll read that in just a moment. Well, we believe, and I believe we can draw from this that the angel is a representation of Jesus. Jesus is not an angel, of course. The angel is only a representation of Jesus, just as the high priest of the Old Testament was a representation of Jesus. And who was the high priest? Jesus is the high priest. This high priest, this representation in the Old Testament, offered prayers and sacrifices for the people. Now keep in mind that the word angel actually means messenger. 1 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 5 says, "For there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man, Christ Jesus." So the angel we read of here is speaking in reference to the Lord and representing our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. This angel would be would be one who has come to represent one who is a messenger. Now notice the trumpets. In Revelation chapter 8 and verse 7, we see the first trumpet. It says, "The first angel sounded, and there followed hail and fire mingled with blood. And they were cast upon the earth. And the third part of trees was burnt up, and all green grass was burnt up." And we see here a mixture of hail, fire, and blood. And it destroys or burns up one third of the trees and all of the grass. Well, note this, if you would, that God created trees and grass on the third day. You can read that. That is a study in itself. Revelation chapter 8 and verses 8 and 9, we see the second trumpet. "And the second angel sounded, and as it were a great mountain burning with fire was cast into the sea. And the third part of the sea became blood. And the third part of the creatures which were in the sea and had life died. And the third part of the ships were destroyed." Well, here we see in these verses, verses 8 and 9 of Revelation 8, that one third of the sea became blood. And one third of anything living in that part of the sea did die. Plus, also one third of the ships in the sea were demolished. Now note this, that God created fish and fowl on the fifth day. Well, we study this, and here we see this, that there seems to be, once again, a parallel to the plagues of Egypt. And just as the river Nile and all other bodies of water in Egypt were turned to blood when Aaron stretched out his rod over the waters of Egypt, so this object apparently had a similar effect upon the sea. Now, some believe that the sea becoming blood is the language of appearance. In other words, that is that the sea, through some chemical change, turns blood red. Well, a chemical change could possibly cause the sea to turn blood red, but could not destroy one third of the ships. The Bible is plain. Revelation says the sea became blood. Well, this judgment from God is devastating in that it does destroy a third part of the ships and a third of life in the sea. Well, the probability is that all life and all ships are destroyed in one portion of the earth, the area nearest to the impact of the great burning mountain. Now we read Revelation chapter 8, verses 10 and 11. We see the third trumpet. "And the third angel sounded, and there fell a great star from heaven, burning as it were a lamp. And it fell upon the third part of the rivers, and upon the fountains of waters. And the name of the star is called Wormwood. And the third part of the waters became wormwood, and many men died of the waters, because they were made bitter." Well, once again, we see something happening here with this third trumpet. A huge, great, burning star, shining as a lamp, falls. Now notice that light was created the fourth day. The second trumpet affects the sea, whereas the third trumpet affects the rivers and fresh drinking water. Wormwood means bitter, and in this instance, deadly. Wormwood is a bitter-tasting plant that yields a bitter extract. Leaves of the plant have been used as medicine for intestinal worms. The product produced by this plant is highly toxic. Notice Revelation chapter 8, verses 12 and 13. This is the fourth trumpet. And the fourth angel sounded, and the third part of the sun was smitten, and the third part of the moon, and the third part of the stars. So as the third part of them was darkened, and the day shone not for a third part of it, and the night likewise. And John says this, and I beheld, and heard an angel flying through the midst of heaven, saying with a loud voice, woe, 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 to the inhabitants of the earth, by reason of the other voices of the trumpet, of the three angels which are yet to sound. I think in essence we could say this angel saying, you haven't seen anything yet. You haven't read anything of that is so catastrophic as to what lies ahead. Well, in verse 12, we see that one-third of the sun, moon, and the stars were darkened. In other words, they were turned off by the Creator. Remember, the Lord is the one who created light. It's as if the Lord pulls the switch on the sun, moon, and stars here. Now, who better to darken the creation but God? Three more woes, painful torments, are yet to come upon the earth. What a terrible time this is to be living. Those people who are living during this time, they have nothing but sorrow. Revelation chapter 9, verses 1 through 11 speaks of the fifth trumpet. We'll read verses 1 and 2. And the fifth angel sounded, and I saw a star fall from heaven unto the earth. And to him was given the key of the bottomless pit. And he opened the bottomless pit, and there arose a smoke out of the pit, as the smoke of a great furnace, and the sun and the air were darkened by reason of the smoke of the pit. Well, we see here the star has a key and opens the bottomless pit. Notice air, oxygen, and light are affected by the underworld here. What or who does this angel represent? Well, another question is, who has the keys of death and of hell? I believe when we answer the second question, we will know the answer to the first. The Bible says in Revelation 1:18, I am he that liveth and was dead, and behold, I am alive forevermore. Amen. And have the keys of hell and of death. We keep reading and we find out who this is speaking of. And as we continue our study, we're going to see this. We're going to see who this one is that's able to open the bottomless pit. The one whom we read of that has the keys of hell and of death. And I pray that you've escaped eternal death by trusting Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. Eternal life comes through our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. To as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them who believe. And I pray that you are one who has believed, and if not, you need to do that now before it's too late. Ask Jesus to come into your heart. He wants to save you right now.
You have been listening to It's a Good Life with Dr. Lewis Woodard. We trust you have been blessed. More biblical teaching about the Christian life can be found by visiting our websites, lrwm.org or itsagoodliferadio.com. We would love to hear from you today. Our email address is life@lrwm.org. This is Doug Anderson reminding you that it's a good life serving the Lord.
May the Lord bless you richly is our prayer.